الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in Islam, viewers of Madani channel, there are many excellences pertaining to reciting salawat upon the best of creation, our beloved master, our intercessor, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, our beloved alayhi salatu wa salam mentions that the one who recites salat upon me once, just once, Allah Ta'ala sends 10 mercies upon such a person. Now think about it for a moment. If on one hand you could have the entire world and whatever blessings it contains, and on the other side you could have one mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, every believer would say, forget the dunya, whatever it contains, I want the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And in this hadith we are being told that by merely reciting Durood Sharif once, moving our lips for a few seconds and reciting Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah, just for a few seconds, that will bring 10 mercies of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the wise person, the intelligent person, will try his utmost to recite Durood Sharif, Salat ala Nabi, in abundance. Why? To accumulate and to amass a great amount of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy of Allah. May Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq to keep our tongues moist with the dhikr of Allah and the dhikr of His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's make some good intentions, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali." A believer's intention is better than his action. And remember, the more good deeds we do, the more important it is for us to make good intentions beforehand. The more good intentions, the more reward, inshallah. What intentions should we make? First and foremost, Ya Allah, I am here in your house just to earn your pleasure, your riba, inshallah. Oh Allah, as long as I'm here and I'm listening to the bayan, I will gain the blessings of listening to sacred knowledge, inshallah. Ya Allah, I will avoid all forms of distractions. I will avoid looking here and there, looking at who is coming and going. I will listen with full concentration so that I correctly understand what's being conveyed and I remember it as well, inshallah. I make the intention that, Ya Allah, when I leave your house, I will try and I will strive to convey this knowledge of Islam, to my family members and my fellow Muslims as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever you get an opportunity to do a neki, a good deed, make good intentions beforehand in abundance, inshallah. Today, we will speak about, or we will hear about, what the Quran tells us and how the Quran guides us in relation to a very important matter. And that matter concerns Islamic knowledge, ilm-e-deen. Now, this day and age that we live in, it's quite a shame that people know that they are not qualified or they are not authorized to speak about Quran and Hadith, but everyone is having discussions based upon Quran and Hadith. Now, Allah Ta'ala created the dunya. Allah Ta'ala made everything within the dunya. There's many, many different industries, many, many different fields. Somebody is in the teaching field, somebody is a doctor, a surgeon, somebody is in agriculture, another person is busy in engineering. All of these fields, It's not the case that a person wakes up one day and he's a qualified doctor. Nor is it the case that another person wakes up one day and he's an expert in engineering, or he's someone who's well versed in real estate, for example. These are fields that a person has to enter with a sufficient amount of knowledge. If a person doesn't have knowledge regarding that field, he will suffer great loss. People know this. And they also know that they cannot impose their view on professionals, qualified people. So imagine for a second that there is an operation taking place in the theater. There's a surgeon and he's operating on somebody's loved one, somebody's relative. This person barges into the theater and he says to the surgeon, "Not like this, like this. Don't make an incision here. I'm telling you to make an incision at this place." Do you think this will be permitted and allowed? Of course not. First of all, the person will not be able to enter, and if he does somehow manage to enter, quicker than he entered, he'll be taken out. He'll be forced to leave that area. And even if force is used, he'll be taken out. Why? Because he's not a professional, he's not qualified to speak in that field. He's not a qualified surgeon himself. He's not a doctor himself. Likewise, imagine somebody is in the food industry. He has all the qualifications. He knows about hygiene. He knows about quality control. He knows about other things as well. And he studied. He has the requisite qualifications. He opens up a food shop, or he's a wholesaler, whatever. If somebody just enters and starts giving him advice and suggestions and recommendations, that person will be told, "Hang on, who are you? What do you know about the food industry? What expertise do you have? Let me see your credentials. Let me see your qualifications. Who's authorized you to speak on this?" And before you know it, he'll become silent. That person won't be able to say anything. Why? Because he knows he is not qualified to speak. So like this, in every single field, you have certain people who are designated for those fields. They are qualified, they undertake education beforehand, they learn, they study, they sacrifice, and only then can they enter that field. Now it goes without saying that the field of Islamic sciences, the field of sacred knowledge, is a very great field in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the people who are part of this field, sacred knowledge, those who have expertise, who are efficient, who are qualified, who are authorized, they are known as the ulama, the scholars. And this term ulama, Allah ta'ala has used it in Al-Quran Al-Kareem as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama." That those who truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his slaves are the ulama. Why is this? Because the ulama spend their entire lives learning about halal and haram. And because of that, Allah ta'ala grants them his ma'rifah, his gnosis, his khashiyya, his fear, amongst other things as well. So if a person doesn't know how to live life in accordance to the teachings of Quran and Sunnah, he'll make a blunder on every footstep. Whereas the ulama are equipped with that knowledge. Now imagine somebody starts speaking upon hadith or tafsir or fiqh, and he gives his own rai, he gives his own opinion. Obviously, the qualified people, the scholars, the ulama, the maulanas, the muftis, they will pull him up on it. And they'll say, "Wait a minute, why are you speaking on this? You're not qualified to speak on this." And what will he turn around and say? "Oh, I was scrolling social media. I came across a post about hadith. I understand the hadith. I'm allowed to mention it. I understand the tafsir. I'm allowed to mention it." This is incorrect. Why? Because sometimes many times actually, to understand a topic in Islam, you not only have to study one hadith, 10 hadith, but maybe hundreds of hadith regarding that topic to fully understand that topic. Whether that's to do with ibadat, salah, zakat, hajj, sawm, or whether that's to do with mu'amalat, that's to do with your dealings with people, that's to do with trade, or that's to do with nikah, or whatever. You cannot just take one hadith and say that now I understand the whole topic. Allahu Akbar. And the worst thing is that when a person becomes stubborn in this regard, and he says, who are you to tell me? I have knowledge. Now look, what does the Quran tell us in this regard? Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the most knowledgeable in all of Allah Ta'ala's creation. There's no doubt about this. He possesses the greatest knowledge. He has the greatest intellect, the perfect intellect. Al-Aqlul Kamil, the perfect intellect. Despite having all of this knowledge, despite being blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite Allah ta'ala mentioning in the Quran, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ, and He, Jalla Jalaluhu, taught you all that you did not know. Allah taught the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all that he did not know. The scholars refer to this knowledge as ilmu ma kana wa ma yakun, knowledge of what was, knowledge of what will be. Before I move on, just to clarify, some people get confused here. They say if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had knowledge of what was and what will be, that means you're equating his knowledge with the knowledge of Allah. What's the difference then? There is a massive difference. And again here, because of a lack of knowledge, people say these things and they don't understand. Allah Ta'ala gave that knowledge to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So first and foremost, it's not dhati knowledge, it's not innate or independent knowledge. The knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salam is bestowed knowledge, knowledge which was granted to him. The knowledge of Allah is dhati, independent to him. First big difference. Then we know from Aqeedah that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qadeem, is pre-eternal. It does not have a beginning, it does not have an end. There's no beginning or end point for the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of Allah does not fluctuate, does not change or anything of the sort. With the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salam is hadith, it's created. It was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has a beginning. The knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salam is not qadeem like the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another big difference. Then the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limit. It's limitless. But even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most knowledgeable in all of Allah ta'ala's creation, and we mere beings can never comprehend that level of knowledge, yet in the sight of Allah, in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a limit to the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So another major difference. So like this, one should not get confused. When the ulama say the Prophet alayhi salam has been given knowledge of what was and what will be, I've just explained what that actually means and how this is not equating the knowledge of Allah and the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Far from it. So, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest alim in the whole of creation. Yet, Allah Ta'ala instructs the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make the dua in the Quran. What is that dua? It's a famous dua. You may recite it yourselves, perhaps, but we should recite, everyone. The dua is وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. The قُلْ right at the beginning means, O beloved, say. And the actual dua is رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. O Allah, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Think about this for a moment. The Prophet ﷺ is the most knowledgeable in all of creation, yet Allah Ta'ala is telling him to make which dua? O Allah, increase me in knowledge. Now just understand from this, how much we are in need of making this dua. Me and you. We should make this dua every single day. After every salah, if possible. رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And the reason why I say this, because some people, they're talkative, loudmouth, and they think they can enforce their opinions on others or impose their views on others, even though they're not scholarly people, they haven't studied the deen. But they feel that because they have that strength of talking, because they have that gift of the gab, as they say, they can say what they like, whenever they like, and nobody will pull them up on it. This is incorrect. Such people should ask for an increase in knowledge. First thing is acknowledging that I don't know. I don't have knowledge regarding something. We're not perfect like that. We don't have complete knowledge regarding everything. We learn on a daily basis. We learn more and more rulings, more and more masail. Every single day we're increasing our knowledge. But the worst affliction is for someone to think, I don't need to study, I don't need to learn, I don't need to go and sit with a scholar. It's fine me scrolling social media, I have sufficient knowledge. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is the affliction, this is the calamity of our time. This is what people think, that they don't need to learn, that they have enough knowledge. And when they are tested with simple questions, that tell us the faraid of wudu. Wudu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is miftahus salah. That before you can even stand and say Allahu Akbar and start your namaz, your wudu has to be correct. If you ask somebody, what are the faraid of wudu? I don't know. You ask somebody the faraid of ghusl, the major ritual ablution, the bath, ghusl. And when you hear the answers, you just start staring at the person. You think, Allahu Akbar, this person has been married for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years even. What has he been doing all that time? So this is why the first step is i'tiraf, acknowledging that, Ya Allah, I don't have sufficient knowledge. Ya Allah, I'm ignorant at the moment. I'm unaware of the rulings of Islam. Ya Allah, teach me. Ya Allah, make this easy for me. Facilitate it for me. And then go and study. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami provides courses throughout the year. Madrasatul Madina Balighan, adult classes. Come and learn the fard of wudu, ghusl, qira'at is fard in namaz. Learn about these things. And then try and teach others as well. So the first thing, the first illness of this time is people thinking they have more knowledge than they actually do. And with that knowledge, trying to impose their views upon others and even scholars, trying to talk down to scholars. This is very bad. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned that إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ, that knowledge comes through learning. Knowledge only comes through learning. You're not going to wake up one day, as I mentioned before, and be a hafiz of the Quran. You're not going to wake up one day and all of a sudden, the whole of Bukhari Sharif is in your heart. That's not how it works. What you have to do is gradually learn Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Hadith Kareema, other sciences as well. And when we study how our aslaf, how the Salaf al-Saliheen actually devoted time, you'd be amazed. How they would go from one city to another city just in search of one hadith. The famous waqiyah of one of our pious predecessors traveling all the way from Madinatul Munawwara to Misr in Egypt. What was the purpose? Just to learn one hadith that the other person had. And imagine those days, there was no bullet trains, there was no flights, there was no quick mode of transport. It was on rides. It would take them several days, maybe weeks and months to go to other areas that today we cover in a short distance of time. Yet look at the jazba, look at the passion that they still undertook that journey. When he would hear that hadith, listen to that hadith, the other person would say to him, have you come just for hadith? Like you had no other business endeavor or no other plans? He said, no. The only reason I came is to hear this hadith. You are the only surviving member of the ummah who has this hadith. I thought I'd hear it from you and now I'm on my way back. This was the jazba. This was the passion, their love for sacred knowledge. That they would devote their lives. Today, alhamdulillah, there's so much ease. On your phone, you could have mukhtalif tafasi. You could have shuruhat of hadith books. You could have ample Islamic literature. And people do as well. They probably download it. But then the next stage is to read it as well. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. that knowledge only comes through learning. If someone has a massive library at home, that doesn't necessarily mean he has knowledge. He's just probably hoarding books. It looks good. Someone comes and thinks, oh, this person must be knowledgeable. But actually opening the book and reading it, going against shaitan and nafs, this is the real test. So, knowledge comes through learning. Acknowledging that one doesn't have enough knowledge and then striving to learn. And when you learn, the Prophet ﷺ spoke about this and said that from the people who are never satiated is the person who learns sacred knowledge. That he just wants to continue learning then. He wants to continue reading, continue studying. This is such a, subhanAllah, great feeling that Allah blesses to whomsoever He wants. We pray that Allah grants us that as well. That when we study, we just want to continue studying. We want to continue reading, continue hearing about Quran and Hadith, continue hearing about tafsir, about fiqh, about the various sciences. So, this is very, very important, taking that step, learning knowledge. Another calamity of this era, another issue, is that people who are stubborn in this regard, they don't want to study themselves, they don't encourage others to study, and the hearts are so diseased that they may even object to Islamic teachings. Outwardly, they're Muslim. But they may object to certain Islamic teachings which they cannot understand with their weak intellect. And how do they go about attacking those Islamic teachings? They will attack the scholars of Islam. That's a clever, or that's a way that shaitan has instilled in their minds. For example, when the Alim Sahib, Maulana Sahib, or the Imam Sahib delivers a lecture about veiling, for example, the Muslim women of this ummah have been instructed to cover themselves. That person is what we call a modern thinker, a modernist, or somebody who doesn't want to act upon this ayah for his own family members, female family members. And he'll say, oh, Maulana Sahib's making it hard. Religion is not that hard. Religion is not that difficult. It's the Imam Sahib who's making it difficult. Allahu Akbar Kabira. The Imam Sahib, or the Maulana, or the Alim, or the Mufti, what does he get out of making it difficult? That's something to think about. What he's going to tell you is from Quran and Hadith. What he's going to tell you is from the life of the Sahabiyat radiyallahu anhunna. He's going to tell you about how the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhunna adopted piety, modesty, chastity in their lives. This is what he's going to tell you about. But because of this disease in the heart, that no, nowadays it should be free. People should be allowed to do what they like without any restrictions, go where they like, do what they like. And he cannot directly attack Quran and Hadith. Why? Because people will pull him up on it. And say, are you feeling okay? You're speaking against Quran and Hadith. So what he does instead, he'll speak against the scholar who's conveying that knowledge. And say, these people are backwards. They haven't, you know, caught up with the times. Allahu Akbar, are we trying to say that the rules of Islam mentioned in Quran and Hadith are for a specific age, or only apply to the era of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is that what somebody is trying to say? Now they're outdated, meaning the divine speech of Allah doesn't apply today? Allahu Akbar Kabira. So see how things progress then. Similarly, if the alim or the scholar speaks about other topics found within Quran and Hadith. So for example, if he speaks about veiling, we've discussed. If he speaks about guarding your eyes, for example, and he says in Surah Nur, Allah Ta'ala states, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَهُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that, oh believers, lower your gaze, protect your chastity, protect your private parts. Similar hukum is for the women. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَقْضُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ, that, oh believing women, you too should lower your gaze. They should lower their gaze as well. Now if the scholar is preaching this, if the scholar is mentioning this, and he's giving references from Quran and Hadith, now this person who has a diseased heart, because of whatever reason, his company, or he's reading the wrong literature, or he's with the wrong people, he knows he cannot directly attack that verse of the Quran. He cannot speak against that verse of the Quran. Why? Because people will say to him, you've committed blasphemy, you've committed kufr. You've denied the verses of the Quran. So instead, what he will say is, again, the same old rhetoric. These Mawlanas, they've made the deen so hard. These Imams, it's not that hard. They just made it too hard. And again, the question, the valid question is, what do they get out of making it hard? How do they personally benefit? They are trying to convey what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have mentioned in Quran and Hadith. And this refers to all ahkamat. So when someone has an issue with a certain ruling, he won't attack that ruling itself. He won't criticize what Allah has mentioned in the Quran or what the Prophet alayhi salam has said in the Hadith, but instead he'll condemn and rebuke the scholars. Say, oh, their understanding is incorrect. Or they're just making it hard. Or they're just speaking from their own whims and desires. But it's never like that. So knowledge is important. We have to study ourselves. We have to learn ourselves. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, categorically, again He says to the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people this. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That do the people who have knowledge, or are the people who have knowledge and those who do not have knowledge equal? No, they're not equal. And that's why we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, grant us an increase in knowledge. So for awam, this is the test, acknowledging that we don't have knowledge, not speaking from our own self, not speaking about Quran and Hadith when we're not qualified, trying to learn as much as possible. And then if you look at the other spectrum, the other side, someone who has knowledge, someone who has been bestowed with knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has his own test. Because people are going to frequently ask him questions. They consider him an authority. And now if he doesn't know the answer to something, he will feel embarrassed. Oh, my reputation will be tarnished. People will look down upon me. But no, that's not how it should be. Look at the likes of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, a mujtahid imam who understood Quran and Hadith better than we could ever do. He has his own madhab in fiqh, the Maliki school of fiqh. Imam Malik radiyallahu ta'ala, and he was asked around 50 questions, and over half of those questions, he said, La adri, I don't know the answer. Obviously, they weren't simple questions. They were quite complex, difficult questions. Otherwise, the great Imam was the founder of a school of fiqh. Nevertheless, what we're trying to get across here is that Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala did not think for a single moment that what's going to happen to my name? People are going to say Imam Malik couldn't answer. Imam Dar al-Hijra, the Imam of Madina al-Munawwara, he doesn't know the answer? No. Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala was humble. Imam Malik had fear of Allah running through his veins. And this is why the Quran says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. That only the inheritors of the prophets, meaning the scholars, have true fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this applies to the likes of Imam Malik radiallahu anhu. He could have answered, even if it was incorrect. But no, he knew that would work against him. He knew he would be answerable for that on the Day of Judgment. This is what we need to do today. If we don't have knowledge regarding something, say, La Adri, I don't know. I'll try and find the answer. If you go away and find the answer and give it, Alhamdulillah, it's good. At least you haven't conveyed the wrong message. And this happens when people become under pressure. They just say anything and everything. A matter of namaz, or an issue related to zakat, or hajj, or any of the ibadat, or nikah, or anything. It's fine, you can do it, go ahead. There's no issue, there's no kafara, there's no this, there's no that. And then when someone knowledgeable tries to tell them that you've given the wrong information, you've given the wrong fatwa, they start arguing with him. Instead of saying, Jazakallah, Shukran, I will correct my mistake. No, why did you pull me up on my mistake? How dare you pull me up on my mistake? This is happening. This is happening in our day and age. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam predicted this. And he said, there will come a time and people will give fatwa without knowledge. And when they give fatwa without knowledge, ضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا, They'll be misguided themselves, they'll misguide others as well. So this is why it's very, very important to learn ourselves, have a bit of understanding regarding the deen ourselves, and then stay connected with the inheritors of the Prophet ﷺ, the ulama. Imagine you learned one mas'ala a day, just one ruling a day, one fiqhi ruling a day, or one hadith a day. After a year, that's 365 masail of sharia that you've learned. 365 ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you've learned. Perhaps 365 verses of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, which you have read and you've understood the commentary as well, the tafsir as well. And how long will it take? It'll be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. But the investment is great for your akhirah. And even your dunya as well. You know how to do tamayyuz between halal and haram. You're not falling into haram at every footstep. So, knowledge is light. Today we spoke about the importance of, first of all, acknowledging that we don't have knowledge. We're not born scholars. We're not born ulama. We're not born with knowledge of Quran and hadith. But, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, knowledge comes through learning. Start learning, and you will very soon realize, subhanallah, how quickly you gain knowledge of Islam, sacred knowledge, knowledge that perhaps you didn't have for decades. And it happens as well. People who travel with the qafilas of Dawud Islami, the Madani qafilas, the spiritual retreats where they stay in a masjid for a few days on the weekends. Subhanallah, many of them have said on air that what we learned in those 3 days, we had never learned beforehand. Meaning we've spent 30 years of our life, 40 years of our life, sometimes even more. But in those 3 days, what we learned about fard ulum, fard of wudu, ghusl, namaz, qiraat, sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad'iyya, the various du'as, we never learned that before. We've realized that our tajweed is not correct. We're going to improve it. We're going to make an intention to learn now. They start attending the Madrasatul Madina Balighan adult classes, and they improve themselves slowly and gradually. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to first of all acknowledge that we don't have sufficient knowledge, and then to embark on this journey of learning sacred knowledge, making the dua that the Prophet alayhi salam was instructed to make, Rabbi zidni ilma. Make this dua all the time. Allah ta'ala will grant sharh al-sadr. He will open your chests, your minds, and He will make it easy for you. What does the Quran say? وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ Allah Ta'ala says, we made this Quran easy to memorize, easy to understand. But is there anyone who will memorize? The Quran is asking, is there anyone who will memorize? Is there anyone who will give time? That's the question. Inshallah, make an intention to give time to learn your deen. That's your betterment in the dunya, and more importantly in the akhirah as well. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to understand and act upon what has been said. Ameen, bi jahi an-nabi al-ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May Dawud Islami be glorious in every corner of the world for the sake